Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wrestling Recap Up live pay-per-view reactions. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how's it going?
Ooh, I am live. I am extreme. And it's good. It was a good show tonight.
Yes, we will be giving our live reactions and recapping the Extreme Rules pay-per-view and possibly taking some listener questions. Mm-hmm. So, Matt, this was a pretty good show. Like, it was like, I mean, this is that time of the year where it's like, this is can be like the down portion of the year. You know, we're past WrestleMania, mm-hmm. we're past SummerSlam, you know, it's football season. So they're up against tough odds. And so mm-hmm. this was actually a really good pay-per-view though, for like a off season, if you will, type of pay-per-view. What did you think?
Yeah, they probably should have just called it like Vengeance or Backlash or something that didn't imply that there would be a ton of Extreme Rules matches. But
right.
beyond that, it was actually a really solid show. And I think it was interesting from the beginning, but it really, I felt, picked up along the way, which was really nice.
Yes, it definitely felt like I loved all the match placements. I didn't feel like anything was like stifled or like the energy, you know, mm-hmm. dipped or anything like that. But I would say this would probably be I'm saying it was good. I would say this would probably be a solid like B, maybe B minus paper.
Yeah.
Like it was solid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but like, what would even be an A truly? Like, I can't think right. of the last like full on A pay per view, and maybe I'm not able to remember because you know Panini's, Panama Sunrises, the panties, all that. What is that? What people? Call? I don't know. Anyway, we'll keep going.
The Panera bread, the pandemic.
Yes, exactly. I think that this was really awesome, and it really did feel like they were stepping up their game for whatever reason. I've got that mm-hmm. vibe from WWE lately as it is, so this was in line with that.
Yeah, I think SummerSlam was pretty good.
Yeah, SummerSlam was really good, but I also feel like across the board, this was stepping it up. Like, we'll talk about the different matches, but mm-hmm. like, I was really pleasantly surprised with so many of them. Like, certain mm-hmm. matches got more time than I was expecting. I think that there's one match that I'm sure that we'll talk about where I feel like this was the performer's best match of the year, in my opinion. But we will get to that.
All right. Yeah, we might as well get to it. So we'll definitely start off with the pre-show match. It was announced. Yeah. Literally today that it'd be on the pre-show, but Liv Morgan versus Carmella was on the pre-show. Came out about like 7:38 ish. I was looking at the time. I was like,
no,
really?
I think you're exactly right too.
Because normally, because sometimes with the pre-shows, like, because I didn't want to watch the pre-show, so I was waiting for their match. That's why I was trying to figure out when it would come on, because I also like wanted to get ready for the pay-per-view. And when it came on at like, when it came on at like 7:38, I was like, really? Like, normally it comes on like right before the main show starts. So there's still like 10 minutes in between when the like main show happened. So
It was strange, like, just to that point about the timing, I mm-hmm. felt like this match had a lot of time to it. Like, I wasn't expecting it to go on for as long as it did.
Yeah, I think they had mm-hmm. to have gotten at least 10 minutes.
Oh, definitely.
It felt
For a pre-show match between Carmella and Liv Morgan, like, I just wasn't expecting that. It felt like it went on for a long time, though, and maybe it's just because those two don't usually get that much time, because when you're on SmackDown or on one of the weekly shows, the matches typically just aren't that long. I mean, even still, especially for the women. And this I liked this match, but how did you feel about it?
No, that's what I was saying. Like, I guess a lot of people don't realize, but like 10 minutes is pushes you up to like a medium match length time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, when you think of like long stuff, like I think even Roman and Finn only got 20 minutes tonight. So the women getting 10, that does feel long because they've been wrestling mm-hmm. 5 minute matches on SmackDown, like you pointed out. So mm-hmm. I thought it was really good. I loved the crowd was so behind Liv Morgan. Like she is so over and I love that for her. And that's what I really took away from the match. I thought that Liv is over. They got the mm-hmm. crowd hype. They did a really good job in the match. Like the match was good. It was serviceable. And then Liv got the win, which was very necessary. So it was amazing. You know, it was good for what it needed to do for it to warm the crowd up.
Yeah, I do need to complain, though, about one aspect of the match. And I'll say the positive first. You know, uh-huh. I really love their chemistry. And I always forget how good it is just to see Carmella and Liv. And I'm not usually, uh-huh. like, in the past, I haven't usually been too excited for either of their matches, honestly. I think for Liv, I've been a little bit more excited. With Carmella, we talked about her gimmick just kind of being off. But there's something about the contrast of their two styles and uh-huh. kind of even being from similar places with that New York, New Jersey type of connection going on and uh-huh. contrasting like Carmella's most beautiful woman in the world gimmick with Liv's gimmick. But to that point, I was kind of bothered by commentary because they were clearly trying to get over the fact that Liv Morgan is quote unquote relatable. And they kept saying, she's so relatable. She's so relatable. And I'm just picturing Vince McMahon yelling into the headset saying, like, just talk about how relatable she is, which is like not a way that you convince people that she's relatable. Like, I'm sure that there are many things that are relatable about her, but I did think that was interesting. And I know this isn't the first time that I heard that. And how they talk about her, but it is very clear that they're trying to get her over as this person who's like a, you know, like the fans. Commentary could do better to establish it. But beyond that, I have no complaints about this match and what they did. And again, was so happy about the time that they had just to shine and show off like a bunch of different sides of what they can do in the ring.
Well, I'm going to believe you on that because I don't know, because for the first for the first 20 minutes or so that we had Peacock on, we could hear the Spanish announce team with the English announce team during that uh-huh. match. So I could same. Not tell what was going on. I was like, what is happening? Same. Well, this is going to be another podcast of us complaining about the Peacock app because they cannot do anything right, and I hate it here. I've hated it ever since WWE has switched over to Peacock instead of the network. And I was really sitting there, I'm like, am I crazy? Why am I hearing chat table?
I was watching on my phone and I was like, wait, let me check the settings. And I went over to the subtitles. I was like, wait, no, it's English. Off. Okay. Good. Yeah, that was a moment. But then it went away eventually. Because
started adding them on social media.
Well, it's funny because I had I was listening to the start of the match and then the subtitles were on. So it was kind of getting distracting. So I just turned down the audio for a lot of it because I said, like, I think I could actually appreciate this match more like without like the double commentary in our ears. Even though I didn't understand the Spanish commentary. But you know what? I think that that for me did not take away from things, but it is kind of sad because I'm sure that did distract people from the quality of the performance, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what I really am trying to make sure I don't let all of the technical difficulties, because that's what we were talking about at WrestleMania too. It's like you can't try not let the technical difficulties get in the way of enjoying what, you know, those two women really did a pretty good job. You know, they did a good job. Your main complaint was commentary. So yeah, I enjoyed it. And I really hope Liv gets a push. Now, I don't know what that looked like, but I definitely want to see more of her. And Carmella, of course. I think Carmella's going Raw in this draft. So
that would be really interesting. I mean, I don't know. I haven't even thought that far ahead, but it's interesting because the first time that I heard the draft mentioned in the main show, at least, or even during the matches, was during the first match of the night when they were talking about the draft, which is coming up on Friday, happening on this coming Friday with SmackDown, and also on the following Monday with Raw. And
yeah, they always
it was interesting
tonight.
That maybe I just didn't hear it or wasn't paying enough attention to the commentary, but I mean, they didn't seem to stress the draft consistently throughout the call. I mean, they definitely didn't stress the draft consistently throughout the card, which I thought was interesting. Like, you would think that they might mention, like, ooh, this person could be drafted, especially in the tag team matches. But, you know, again, we'll get into it.
Yeah, exactly. So another match that was literally announced that night, basically on the spot, was we got Bobby Lashley versus AJ Styles. Oh, sorry. Bobby Lashley with AJ Styles and Omos versus The New Day. Big
I see what you did
Xavier
there.
And Kofi Kingston. My bad.
Took me a while. I see. It was basically AJ Styles versus Bobby Lashley at the end. So that's fair enough. And, you know, I like this. First of all, I will say I had the pre-show on, but I had the audio turned down. Like, but from the beginning, I had it on, and I missed whatever it was that happened that set the match. But I heard, as they said, the start of the match, that it was due to a backstage attack during the pre-show.
Yeah, I wasn't watching the pre-show it was early in the pre-show. And I did see a clip that Bobby and them attacked Big E, and then the New Day jumped in. They all jumped in, and it was a backstage fight. So that's what led to the match. So during Liv and Carmella, that's when they announced that match would open the show.
They didn't need to announce that during the Liv and. This is the
right.
I know that you were talking about this with NXT 2.0, and I won't go into it, but, you know, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but just like the random things that happen for men's segments or other segments during the women's matches.
It's so annoying.
It's just annoying because it's been a trend, you know, at least as long as I've been a wrestling fan. So whatever, it's cool. This is something small, and it makes sense because, like, they had to announce it during the pre-show. They probably could have announced it during the panel, but hey, I missed it. That's when, again, we were talking about the commentary during the match. So I'm not surprised that I missed it.
Yeah,
the announcement
exactly.
of it at first.
So this match was really fun. It was really good. I thought the intensity, like, on each side was good, but, like, I don't know. The whole AJ and Bobby stuff was interesting, and it makes sense. You know, it made sense for them to lose because they're not a trio. You know what I'm saying? The New Day have been wrestling with each other for like the past 6 years or whatever, 7 years now.
It was kind of basic. It was basic, and it told a very simple story, which was the New Day. Great team. They have the chemistry. AJ and Omos haven't teamed with Lashley truly. You know, they don't have that relationship and chemistry, obviously, to the level that the New Day have. And that all panned out. Like, that's the story of the match. And, you know, it ended with the miscommunication between AJ and Lashley. Really, it was like part conflict, part miscommunication. But, you know, it was what it was. Like, it makes sense that it went the way that it did. I thought it was interesting that during this match on commentary, because commentary was sorted out, they announced they were talking about how the draft was Friday and how the New Day might be teaming together for the very last time, which is like a ridiculous
thought, that'd be so ridiculous.
But I mean, I did think it was interesting that they talked about this here, because later on in the card, like with literally the next match, which was a tag team match, not to skip ahead to that, but you know, they didn't talk about the draft at all on the commentary, because I was trying to figure out, like, were they teasing everyone potentially breaking up? And so that was odd to me. And I don't think that the New Day will break up. I mean, they always find ways to stay together. So who really, like, even cares if they're on separate brands? They're still going to be the New Day.
Right, exactly. And that's what happened in the last brand split. You know, they've been split since the last one. So, but it just doesn't, like, I've never been a fan of splitting tag teams in brand split if you don't know what you're going to do with them, and you just do it for the shock of them being on draft. They're like, oh, like, come on, stupid.
Yeah.
But so, and I thought this was good.
I will say with that, though, that the one thing I thought that was interesting that they kind of teased was AJ and Amos splitting up, just because that would be really interesting. And at least the way that they kind of hyped it up, like just to see Amos on his own as like a one man wrecking crew. I could see that. I might like that. They're probably not going to do it, but I wouldn't mind. But then again, you know what? They're like the biggest tag team on Raw at this point, so maybe that's not a good thing if they split up another tag team.
Right, exactly. And we talked about it last episode, but the tag team divisions for both the women and the men, it's just that there's no attention being paid to it. So I can't even tell you who the other tag teams on Raw are. What, the Viking Experience, they call them Raiders. It's the Viking Raiders.
I always get confused, but that, because
they went by a Viking Experience for 1 week.
Okay, good.
And then they came back as the Viking Raiders. And then their finisher is called the Viking Experience.
But you know what? Let's just not even pretend. Like, the New Day could just politic their way to stay together. I wish that politicking were more of a part of pro wrestling, where they're just like, they literally should have shots of like people in shadowy corners talking with Vince McMahon about like whatever. I don't know, but that would be nice to see.
Like we've said before, like, the New Day consistently know how to talk to Vince. They have Vince's ear and all of that. They basically get to write their own creative for themselves.
Yeah.
So, but I did like that this, like, Big E pinned Lashley in this, and I liked how it did make Big E like look strong. And then I loved all of the promos, like the promos between Big E and Lashley throughout the show that set up their match for Raw on Monday.
They're kicking off the show title. So that's really going to be cool to see. And I think I especially liked the promo from Big E that came after the Lashley promo, because he was just so fired up. And, again, traditionally, we've seen him in the tag team. We've seen him in the goofy role, but it was just nice to see him like angry. I appreciated that.
Exactly. And so the WWE, they're trying to push, they're trying to get those ratings up, and they're telling you exactly when this match is going on. So that's so good for the both of them. I don't know who's playing Monday. Wait, the Eagles are playing Monday night, I think, but I'm going to be watching that, you know? Not the Eagles. I'm talking about Raw. I'm going to be watching Raw.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was worried.
I'm definitely going to be watching that, because I want to see that, you know? Yeah. And just a reminder, to any of the listeners, if you want to, you can submit a audio question or comment, and we'll play it on the show.
That's right.
But next up, we have Street Profits versus the Usos for the SmackDown Championship. And this was good, but I think my expectations were so high it kind of didn't meet my expectations, but
mine were so low because they kept going to Montez Ford was assaulted by Roman and the Bloodline on Friday. Like, they kept hitting that point home. And then I also was wondering, like, are the Street Profits going to break up? Because Dawkins was, which, by the way, JBL called Angelo Dawkins Anthony Dawkins on the pre-show. So the disrespect is unacceptable. But I will say that, like, he went, okay, so Dawkins went to a wedding, so he couldn't be on SmackDown on Friday. What kind of storyline is this?
I'm like, he must have just really went to a wedding. Like, I don't know.
I hope so. And it's the worst thing. Yeah, imagine that, being in a storyline, having to go to a wedding so you can't show up, but you're not actually at the wedding.
But it was kind of like, maybe he's like, he asked them, like, you know, like, I want to go to this wedding. Can I have time off? They're like, you're really asking for time off to go to a wedding? He's like, you know, I got to go to this wedding. So it was like them ripping him for, you know. Yeah. They're like, oh, Angelo Dawkins had to be at a wedding. That's why he couldn't be here to help his friend, you know?
I mean, like, he was supporting other friends, clearly. So why are we upset, you know? If we could make time for war, for fighting, we have to make time for love too, right, Mari?
I don't know. The WWE is like, nah.
Yeah, so, they're like, if you're going to have a wedding, do it in our ring, and it better not end well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the funny thing is, now that you mention it, if any team might get broken up due to this draft, it definitely could be them.
I wouldn't mind it, and that's the thing I thought was weird. Sorry to cut you off, but that's what I thought was weird, that they didn't even tease that. Like, they teased the teams breaking up in the first match, and then it didn't come up at all in this tag match.
Yeah, but they, like, when they were walking to the ring for their match, did you see when, like, Montez was like, yeah, well, I'm trying to get these titles from the Usos, and if you're not on the same page, and he's like, no, yeah, I'm on the same page, fam. Like, what is that? What was that? Like,
what was that? He went to a wedding.
So I think maybe, like, they could be the ones, and if so, like, I would be a little sad, only because, like, the Street Profits were, like, one of the longest reigning, like, champions at one point. They've had both the Raw and the SmackDown titles, but I really feel like they really, like, they didn't, on the main roster, they didn't have a really, really, really good feud. Like, that feud between them and the Viking Raiders turned to comedy, and then it just kind of never got resolved, because they added, there was a third team that was added in there, and the third team walked away with the belt. I can't remember if it's AJ and Omos or if it was RK-Bro, whatever. But like, it just, I just never felt like they had, like, a blood feud, which is why I was looking forward to this Usos one. But I don't know. But Montez Ford is, you know, he's it. He's got it all. And wrestling Roman, I'm pretty sure, showed everybody. But I feel bad for Dawkins, because Dawkins, if they break up, Dawkins is getting cut. I don't see any other way around it. He's going to end up like Tucker.
No, they can't do that.
I think I've told you this story on the podcast a few times, but Angelo Dawkins had went through three, I think Montez Ford was like his third partner. Because he was in NXT for years. Yeah. He was in, like, developmental NXT, like NXT for years. And he was going through partners. They didn't know what to do with him. And it wasn't until him and Montez linked up that they finally found the niche for him. So, so if they break up, he'll go back to that. And that, because that's exactly what happened with Otis and Tucker. Because it was the exact same thing with Tucker. Tucker was in developmental, same amount, had like 5-10 years, something like that, went through multiple partners. At one point, he was partnered with Wesley Blake, Buddy Murphy's old partner. And I think Steve Cutler at one point, too. Probably. One of the Forgotten Sons. So, he was partnered with at least, like, both of them, and then he didn't get pushed until it was him and Otis. And then he gets cut, Otis is still there. I can't believe that happening to Dawkins.
No, I thought the same thing too, and I do think that they'll probably be broken up in the draft, especially because it's really weird that it wasn't teased, at least for me. Again, that was the thing for me that stood out. So, but right. then again, it was teased in a way of like, but they didn't talk about the draft in that context around the two of them. So I think that's going to happen. I do think, though, that they'll find some kind of role for Dawkins. I don't know what that would be. I hope that they do. So. But we'll see. But yeah, we're kind of on the same page with that one, that it's not looking great for them.
Yeah, and Dawkins is actually really good in the ring. Like, he's really good in the ring. I just think he doesn't have as big a presence mm-hmm. as, you know, Montez does. And that's the biggest problem for him.
He needs to work on his frog splashes, I guess. And maybe, you know, other things too, but maybe that's a good place to start.
Yeah, you gotta start somewhere. Mm-hmm. So the Usos retained.
Yeah.
Which again was a good match. There's a lot of times, you know, but definitely the Usos walked away with the victory, which I'm pretty sure we thought that would happen.
No surprise there.
Yeah, the Bloodline is still having to go really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After that, we had Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair. And I will definitely say that the match itself wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Because again, you know, I said I didn't like any of their last match that they had. I don't think they definitely don't have like chemistry, like in ring, like really good in ring chemistry. But the match itself was serviceable. Wasn't like too many botches. It looked fluid enough or whatnot.
so shady.
I mean, but my expectations were low, so they exceeded my expectations, but it wasn't spectacular, which is, I mean, maybe that's just me. What did you think of the match?
Oh, well, here's what I'll give them. Well, actually, there are a couple levels to this, because there's also the post-match stuff with Alexa.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Bizarre. But, you know, I liked this match a lot because I was really thinking back to that Survivor Series match that they had a few years ago that we referenced that kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. And, you know, it's not even that they have like special chemistry per se, but I did like the story of the match. I liked how they booked it. I liked that Alexa was dominating the early part of the match and really strong throughout the match. And I would say that this was Alexa's best match of the year. And maybe that's not saying a lot because, I mean, a lot of these matches have been booked around the gimmick and around the powers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a different story. That is a different element. But I really liked what they ended up doing, and I felt that it was a good fit. And I thought that, you know, we saw Charlotte win, but they gave so much time to Alexa's, could we call it a breakdown after the match, which I appreciated.
Yeah,
I didn't know what was really going on, but I was very fascinated that they literally gave like. They gave minutes to that.
Yeah, exactly. So, Charlotte wins too. Then Charlotte destroyed Lily. I was actually surprised that happened, to be quite honest. I thought the whole reason why they brought the Charlie doll was so she could destroy that and Lily comes out unscathed. But she destroyed Lily, and I was like, "Oh,
don't do that. Can you imagine? That's just not right. Don't do that. You didn't have to go there, Charlotte. That was uncalled for, and the unmitigated gall it took for her to assault Lily like that. What has Lily ever done to anyone? And Lily has really been active. She hasn't just been there. We've seen her wink. We've seen her sit up.
Okay, and so you're a Lily stan.
And that, well, I am just saying she worked hard. And, you know, I just think that, you know, RIP Lily, I assume. Hopefully she doesn't come back, because that would be really creepy.
Right. So, right. So then once Lily's all torn up, Alexa Bliss starts like yelling and stuff, and it's just a weird breakdown. But yeah. Unfortunately for Alexa, I don't know if you noticed this, Matt, but like, think she had like an Alka-Seltzer tab in her mouth.
What?
And yeah, of course you didn't notice.
Wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. Alexa Bliss had like an Alka-Seltzer tab in her mouth. So she was supposed to be kind of like foaming at the mouth or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah. So when she was yelling, I first thought like when she was like in the ring. Yeah. And I was like, what's that white thing on her tongue when she kept like opening her mouth and yelling? But it was most apparent when she was on the at the top of the ramp yelling.
You know what?
The camera was right in her face.
Wow. I didn't notice though, because I was just like, I was so caught off guard by what was happening, because I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be a 10-second segment, and then I looked away and I'm like, wait, she's still doing, wait, what, this is still going on? So that, interesting. I mean, they didn't need that, which is another thing. Like, I thought that just her reaction and how long it went on for was so powerful, and I'm glad that she wasn't foaming at the mouth, because that would have been strange.
Well, so so apparently, like, next to the seltzer was like a bottle of water, but she couldn't get the water open, so she was relying on her own spit to try and form the foam.
This is wild. I need to go back and watch this again. Yeah. Because, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
They said she couldn't get the water bottle open.
That she said, I'm not going to get this water bottle open, because I know that if I start foaming at the mouth, that she can't live that down. Like, that's a little bit too far and a little bit too wild. And it's like,
she even put the tab in there then, because that threw me all the way off.
She had to look like she was trying. So I get it. I see her. She botched that on purpose. I like it.
Oh, God. But yeah, it was a very long segment after with her screaming. So we don't know where this is going to go. I'm assuming, I guess they have to continue feuding at the very least, maybe.
Well, we'll see.
But at first I was like, did the gimmick change? Maybe like Lily's gone and she's going to be released. But then she was, but then she started yelling, and I was like, hello.
I didn't realize
this is going to make her even crazier.
Rabies, though. Like, we don't need Alexa with rabies. And I'm glad that we're steering away from that, because, again, that's uncalled for. And that's just another, I don't know, Mari, you've dropped the bomb on me with this one. But I liked what we got out of it. And I thought that it made Alexa look, not look good necessarily, but just look like an interesting character that they want to spend some more time and energy on than they, have over the last few months, especially.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I think maybe we get a little bit more between the two of them going forward. Totally. But Charlotte retains; she's still the women's champion. So we'll see the draft affects anything or that, but she's basically a one man wrecking crew over there in the Raw women's division. So the Raw women's division really needs like a shot in the arm, because it's I don't want it.
You know what I would like to see, and it's interesting because we've heard about, maybe we talked about this very, very, very little, if we have it all, but there's this idea of Queen of the Ring and some kind of Queen of the Ring tournament potentially coming up. I wonder if that would happen on Raw or in line with Charlotte in some kind of way. I don't have high expectations for that, to be honest, because I think there's so much more that they could always do. Like, I would love to see an open challenge situation with Charlotte, where we're getting back you know, some of these people who are still active wrestlers, some of the women who are still active wrestlers, but not on the roster, we're never going to see it. I don't think we're ever going to see that. And I would love that. But, you know, let's see what happens. You made a great point last week on the show just about the fact that there aren't that many face women on the, well, on the, I think you were saying on the Raw roster especially. And so, yeah, let's see what happens and what they even try to do here, because who knows?
There's not really many women, period. Nikki and Rhea, who are the tag champs right now.
They're busy.
Shayna and Nia. Nia just went for surgery. Mm. And Natty and Tamina are technically, they're on SmackDown, if I remember correctly, before they won the titles.
Yeah, technically.
So, I don't think I'm missing anybody.
No, I don't. Maybe someone's going to be called up. Like, this actually could be a great place.
Well, that's what the draft is for, yeah.
To your point, though, this could be to your point, last week on our episode, or I guess really a few days ago on our episode, Io Shirai could be a good challenger for Charlotte. I mean, there is some history there. I could see that happening. I don't know if it would be the most interesting, but...
No, it'd be interesting. I just don't want to see Io lose to Charlotte.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's kind of where I... Maybe that's the, like, for me at this point, that's the most viable option because I really, you know, don't know where this could go.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, we had Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, and Damian Priest going for the United States title match. And this was really good. This match was so good. It just felt like bodies flying everywhere. That's the type of match it felt like between these three men. And it was just really fun. I loved everything about the match until the roll-up at the end. I really did not like that. That was the one thing I was like, really? Damian Priest retains on a roll-up. I think he rolled up Sheamus, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, I hate that, because it made it come off like it was a fluke win, you know?
Yeah. And then he shook hands with Jeff Hardy. And, you know, I wasn't that into this match, mostly because I was still thinking about the Charlotte Alexa thing, but also looking ahead to what would come later on the card. And it does bother me that Jeff Hardy was not in Extreme Rules, you know, not like Extreme Rules capital letters, but just like, give us some kind of stipulation match with him on a card that like really has his namesake, or, you know, whatever you would call it. That's the one thing for me. So I wasn't over the moon about it, but it was good. And I think your point about it kind of did feel like a little bit of a car crash, like Jeff Hardy flying all over the place, and they're all going for each other, which was cool. But yeah, I wasn't that into this one. And there was a botch in there too. Not that.
Oh, when they fell back.
When Priest fell off the apron, but I guess he was supposed to probably do the Sheamus spot of, like, you know, Sheamus or the opponent over the rope and Sheamus slapping the chest. I think Priest might have been going for something like that, but he just slipped off and had to recover. That's like my one note that I wrote down for this match.
I thought it was the other one where Priest and Jeff Hardy were about to do something. It was like maybe a twist of fate or something, and they both fell down like in the center of the ring, and they got up and Jeff hit the twist of fate.
Yeah, but there was like a little, that to me, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. It all felt a little bit sloppy. It all felt a little bit sloppy. And then at the end, the fact that Jeff Hardy shook hands with Priest or whatever it was that they did in the ring after, it's like, you were just fighting each other. Like, you should be more upset.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I really liked it. I don't know. I liked it. Damian Priest retains. I hate that it was just a little roll up, but
Yeah.
But I thought it was I like the match. I think it does set up Damian Priest as a fighting champion. And I'm kind of hoping that he moves on from Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, and that, like, he gets, you know, he continues his open challenge.
Totally.
And gets maybe some new blood in there for that championship.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I wonder if, like, we're going to get Karrion Kross in there with Damian Priest, because he's kind of been in that universe. But yeah, my thoughts exactly. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But I mean, they could do so much better with Priest, I think. Like, I think where he shines is where he's like the younger up and comer, and which I guess is the case in this match, but you know, I would like to see him in more main event matches, just to kind of pull him up and elevate him and say, this is going to be the next guy, because I do get that vibe just from a lot of his booking this year.
Exactly. And like, he's tall, he can go in the ring. He knows Bad Bunny, because they pointed that out again today, because they were at the Latin Billboard Awards. So I that's what I'm saying. I do love that they are, like, really legit behind him, pushing him as a fighting champion, and he looks great. I do want him to get in a real program again, where it's not just, I'm fighting you because you have my title. But you know, it can happen. It's no rush for all of that. And just a reminder to any of the listeners, please feel free to submit an audio question or audio comment, and we'll play it during the show. So we got to get into the meat and potatoes of this. Ooh. Our last two matches. Oh my gosh. So we had Becky versus Bianca for the Women's SmackDown Championship match. And this match, like, I thought the crowd was a little dead here, a little bit more than I like. But they were going back and forth. They're like, let's go Becky, EST, let's go. There was a lot of going back and forth.
Yeah.
For the chance, but for, like, the spots, I don't think they were getting into the spot.
Well, I'll be honest. So I actually turned down the volume for this one, because I was having such a good time watching. I really was watching this match closely, intently, because sometimes the commentary, the fans and their reaction is distracting. And I always feel like when I see two people in the ring and I'm really excited for them, that I just get distracted by, like, what's commentary saying? Are the fans reacting like they probably should? So I was listening, but I was more watching. Actually, I was watching both. Well, watching it, but even more, it was just watching all of, I mean, Bianca's mannerisms, which I think, you know, Bianca's flawless, but that's not a surprise. Like, we knew, and she's constantly shown us how great she is. But the thing with Becky is that I don't think I ever gave her enough credit. I mean, especially as a heel, because we hadn't seen that. Watch her, like, literally put the match on mute, like, go back and watch it, and you will be amazed, because it's so subtle, but just the way that she walks, her facial expressions, she kind of, like, broods around the ring, and it is so well done. I don't know how she perfected a heel character so well, but, like, her nonverbals, I think, are what get the gimmick over. Because I have been thinking about why are people booing her when they love her? And I think, again, it comes down to not only Bianca being a wonderful babyface who is just so phenomenal in all she does, but also just Becky really being a great, really fun heel.
Yeah, and I agree. And that's kind of the beginning of the match, like, it was kind of slow because it was a lot of slower spots. It was a lot of Becky taunting, which is, of course, heels do.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of low impact stuff. Like, you know, it was Becky keeping Bianca down and for most of the match. And it didn't start picking up until Bianca started getting more offense in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And And then we got more of a back and forth. Then all of the reversals, which I love, which is a staple in like Becky Lynch matches. People, you know, I don't know if it's been so long, but you forget. But Becky is, you know, she's a submission, not a submission, but like a technician when it comes to like wrestling. And Bianca's hanging in there with her, like with the reversals, them both reversing. Like that was so good at that match. But I agree with you. I definitely might need to go back and watch it on mute because half the time I was thinking like, this is great. Why am I not hearing any good reactions to it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I knew that was going to be my, because like I'm with you in terms of the reaction, at least at the start of the match from what I heard. And then I turned it back up like later on in the match, or turned it all the way up later on in the match. You know, of course, around the finish, because it was very interesting to hear. And that, again, I was disappointed with the crowd reaction and very confused, actually, when the finish ended. I feel like I should leave it to you to say who ran in and what happened, even though you predicted it.
So the setup in the match itself was Becky had been trying to get Bianca into the armbar for like most of the match, right? And we get a part where Becky has Bianca like middle of the ring, almost in that armbar. Bianca has thwarted the attempt at least three times at this point. And then she starts rolling around, and you're like, oh God. But Bianca like stands up, has Becky on her shoulders. You're like, oh my God, she's about to hit the KOD. Literally. I was so excited, like 2 seconds away from the KOD. And Sasha Banks runs out and like hits her in the face. I have never been so disappointed to see Sasha Banks.
She did it too, it was funny because it was, I mean, and you know what? It's great because she's a heel, but she just ran in and shoved Bianca.
It wasn't like she did anything fancy either.
It was good. She just went in and shoved. And then she, of course, did a bit more, but I was so not wanting
no
that.
No music?
Yeah.
Matt, no music, nothing. Yeah, we just look over that. And Sasha is in the ring, pushing them. Yeah. The bell rings, disqualification. She starts beating up Bianca. In enough time for Becky to go and grab the belt and just kind of cower in the corner and be like, oh, we're good, you know, we're cool, we great, we straight. Then we're not, because Sasha Banks then turns on Becky and beats Becky up some more. And it goes back and forth between beating the two of them up.
I will say the good thing about the booking of that beatdown was that Becky didn't get any offense in and didn't fight back. Like, I think that if Becky would have tried to fight Sasha, maybe it would have been like a face reaction for Becky in the moment, or it just would have been, again, like the heel thing, which was just strange anyway with Sasha attacking Becky. Like, I almost wish that they would have sided together, because that would have been like even more insurmountable odds for Bianca. But I mean, you have to assume that this is going to lead to a triple threat, or to like a draft situation where one of them gets taken out of the equation. But I assume it'll be a triple threat,
right? And that's that's the only reason why I'm a little about the ending of it, because we know the draft is coming, right? So it's like if you're going to continue this storyline, then yes, cool. Yeah. I would love to see a triple threat between the three of them. I would love a three-way feud between the three of them. But knowing that the draft is 5 days away, I'm kind of afraid that we're not going to get a satisfying conclusion to the three of them. You know, we might even just get a triple threat on SmackDown, honestly. You know?
Yeah, but it's so awkward. What, like, the way that they kind of did it, because I mean, it's not surprising, but it is awkward, because again, the heel heel face thing doesn't, yeah. it doesn't add up.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I hope that they figure out like how to do something with it to make some sense of all of it rather than just moving on. But we'll see.
Right.
We'll see. Cause again, with the women, they kind of need to reshuffle some people somehow. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's a world where Bianca, like in my head, maybe it's, let's just say Montez Ford is drafted to Raw. Bianca is also drafted to Raw. Maybe we get Bianca and, you know, and Charlotte next. I don't know.
But I don't know.
I could see that I don't being know, really but I annoying. Feel like... I could see Bianca, you know, fuming that she was drafted for that yeah, reason. I was about you know, to say, it feels like
she was just over there.
Yeah.
Like, she was just drafted to SmackDown in the last draft.
They could do whatever you know? They want. Yeah.
They can.
Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. But we'll see. We'll see what they do. I have no clue.
And that's what...
It could be a good chance for, again, like you have Sasha and Becky as the heels, as the head heels on that on SmackDown. And maybe this is where Liv Morgan kind of pulls up. I don't, or whoever else, I don't even know who else would be, you know, in that spot to kind of fill in the you know, the babyface women's role if Bianca were to leave. But maybe I'm over fantasy booking it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's just like my husband thinks that Sasha, Bianca, and Becky are all going to stay on the same brand. I'm like, I don't think there's any way in
we'll see.
How that happened.
We'll see.
It feels like such a roadblock. But I do, all of that technical stuff aside, I really like this. I'm so excited for all three of them to like to be on the mic against each other and then to like fight. So this is so great. And Bianca is literally standing in a ring with two of the horsewomen and holding her own. Mm-hmm. So like I can't complain yet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And again, it's still I'm wondering what the status of Bayley is. Like how she's doing with her recovery time, because again at this point we have all four horsewomen are healed
and
two of them have the belts. I would love just to see like the horsewoman with the, of course a heel faction and just going from brand to brand just wrecking stuff, and then like Bianca has to find a get a ragtag group of and then to kind of fight them. That'd be kind of cool, to be quite honest.
Yeah, but you know what?
We're ahead of ourselves.
I was going to say, Bayley needs to get her ponytail on. She needs to get her side pony, her headband. She needs to get it all going because Bianca needs some help. But, you know, I
no,
like
Bayley's
going to
be on the other side.
I like your idea gonna be, it's gonna be all a lot four better. Of them. I like your idea a lot better.
Yeah. Okay, so we gotta go into our last match.
We do.
Yeah, Roman versus the Demon Finn Balor, and so for the Universal Championship. And this was okay. So
weird.
It was weird. So at first, I was like, okay, I'm not really too excited for this match. It's whatever because Finn's not winning. You know, at this point, it's kind of like Roman's keeping that joint at least until Crown Jewel to face Brock, so but the match itself got me like it gets you really hyped because it's an Extreme Rules match. Finally, we finally get an Extreme Rules match. We get the weird kendo stick bundle thing that Finn Balor had. They go out into the crowd Paul Heyman hands Roman his mask to go out into the crowd, which I was like, that's amazing,
right?
But also, Roman, please get away from those mouth breathers because he's immunocompromised.
Exactly. He didn't need to go out into the crowd for any reason. That's exactly what I was thinking about because what's the point? I mean, the crowd stuff was fine. And I will also say they weren't, they were in the crowd. Like, I even wrote down, they're in the crowd, but like it wasn't
in the crowd.
Like, it wasn't in the crowd. It wasn't in the crowd. Like it wasn't it was with the people touching them.
Yeah, it was near the booth for the pre-show.
Exactly. Yeah, it, literally, that's where they were fighting. So yeah, but that it makes sense that they did it that way, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, and it picked back up once they got back into the ring, because Finn was getting in his offense. He got back into the ring. Finn hit the coup de grace.
Yeah.
Covers Roman, and it was looking like lights out until the Usos came out, pulled him off, because of course Extreme Rules. The Usos like put him through a table or something like that, like Finn. And something to that effect, but they started beating up Finn Balor. Really? And they started to beat up Finn Balor, but Finn actually started beating up the Usos. But
he went into demon mode.
Yeah, well, no. Before that, he turned around and he got speared by Roman into the barricade. And that's where, like, he got speared by Roman. Everybody was laid out. The Usos were laid out. Roman was laid out. Finn was laid out. And then all of a sudden, the lights go down. We get this beeping and this or whatever. And Finn gets resuscitated. He goes into demon mode. He, like, smoke is coming off of things.
Yeah,
he throws Roman back into the ring. He's at the top turnbuckle, about to go for the coup de grace again. And then all of a sudden, the turnbuckle belt just flies off. And everybody's like, was that Paul Heyman? Did Paul Heyman do that? The turnbuckle flies off. Finn falls, gets hit by a spear, and Roman pins him. But at that point, like the lights came back up. Like it was red. His music was playing. It looked really cool. And it made me think that they were like, oh, well, we don't have the Fiend anymore, so we need to make another supernatural character or something like that. But I don't know. It looked really cool. I thought it did look cool.
It looked cool. It looked very cool.
Weird,
the one part that, the part I would say is goofy is the theme music playing, because I don't know what it is, but just like that part for me, it is like, okay, someone in the production truck hit that. Otherwise, that's what it felt. It's like Finn, the demon, signaled and was like, okay, I need the dried ice, the smoke. He just got his lighting in the show and had them pull it off. But you know, it did look cool. The thing with the rope was so strange. Because
it looked very dangerous.
It looked dangerous also because the ring was so smoky, so we couldn't even really see him like pretty much from like the waist up. And so I don't even know if he could see where he was falling or when it was happening or like it's just wild that we still don't know how it happened.
Which
exactly
makes me think they were blaming it on Paul Heyman because Paul Heyman was in the vicinity. But I'm pretty sure they did that on purpose. I feel like in order for that spot to actually really happen, I think he had to trigger it. Like Finn did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think so. And, you know, one thing that's always interesting about stuff like this for me is just like was he using that corner, that rope, that turnbuckle before? Like anytime that they do that spot in wrestling, which I mean, I still love, where like someone falls through the mat, you'll notice going back that like no one took a bump on that spot or even like walked on that spot, or at least that's how they used to do it. And I do wonder, like, if I go back, how much they were using that corner, or like what Finn did to trigger it. You know, maybe there was some, I don't know, I can't even guess, but it was.
No, I get what you're saying. I know his first coup de grace was off a different turnbuckle.
Yeah, so it was off I would call it like
one closer to the
left
stage,
one.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I see what you're saying there, but I thought it was interesting.
I thought it
kind of helped protect him in a little way.
It did.
It
was pitiful though, because he was in demon mode and then he fell off the turnbuckle and then somehow that went away. So someone's going to have to explain to me how the demon works, but it was almost like he was grabbing his leg like he tore his ACL from like falling off the rope face first. And, you know, if that's what it takes to get him out of the supernatural gimmick, then okay, yeah, that's good to know. His kryptonite, yeah. Just like push him over and he's done. But yeah, that was very interesting because I didn't, you know, I just assumed that he would still have the demon powers, but maybe I just don't understand what those demon powers are exactly.
Right. So, all in all, very fun match. I mean, the crowd was into that match, that's for sure. So
they were
a very good match to end it on. I mean, Roman has really just been knocking it out of the park, like
from the
whole
beginning.
Year. Yeah, and all of his opponents too, of course. But any final thoughts on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, Matt?
It was great. Becky and Bianca are just phenomenal in the ring, and they both play their roles so well, and we talked so much about that on the last episode. So if you want to hear us talking more about how great they are and breaking that down, listen to that episode. But other than that, I liked this show, and I thought it was really fun. I was more excited for the matches than I wasn't. And I did feel like WWE was really trying and pushing towards something. I will say I do wish that they would have teased the draft more and made that more of a storyline across the board. But other than that, like, I'm with you on giving it like a B or something to that effect.
I said B minus.
Well, A B minus is like a form of a B. We could go with a B minus, Mari. I didn't know if you wanted to.
I was just telling you what I thought. I thought it was pretty good. Where can the people find you, Matt?
On the Wrestling Rehab, but also at Matt Scott GW. Follow me and Mari, who will plug her stuff on Stereo, on Twitter. Hit me up and let us know your thoughts on Extreme Rules. Let us know if you have any questions that you want us to cover on our next episode and all that stuff. But again, can't recommend enough rewatching just certain parts of the pay-per-view. I really feel like that Bianca Becky match was art. So that's required rewatching. But yeah, you know where to find me. And I will also mention that I just the other day released episode 2 of the podcast about Black Widow Brigade, the show on YouTube, made by Alex Gardner, who's the creator of Survivor Philadelphia. And yeah, it was cool to talk with LaTanya and Grace about that. And it's also been cool to hear from the podcasters who are part of the show and game, just with their reactions and thoughts. So that's where you could find me now. And then, of course, Survivor 41 is happening. So there's definitely some stuff happening over there in the works. And hopefully you could hear me covering that soon enough, of course, on RHAP. But Mari, where could the people find you?
The people can find me here on Stereo and on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. This is a podcast for the Wrestling Rehab Up. So if you're hearing us on Stereo, this is the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. You can search for us wherever you get your podcasts, or you can go on YouTube to the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page and find our video podcast there. But we're here every week talking about doing all the highlights of WWE, AEW, the weird week in wrestling, doing the highlights. So find us, check us out, go support the actual the podcast. This was a really good, it was a very solid pay-per-view. I really like the flow of it. And a lot of it has me wanting to see what's next. So exactly. I think that's mission accomplished, if anything. Totally. So if you haven't heard us before, go check us out. Go look for us and go hear, go follow us on our socials. But other than that, watch out for any flying elbows.
Damn.
And we're out.